Welcome to Dare to Care with Dr. Elaine Jurkowski, a show focusing on helping listeners understand health and human service-related topics and improve one's literacy. We also challenge our listeners to care for someone close to them or within their community as a result of being introduced to new resources and ideas. And now your host, Dr. Elaine Jurkowski.
Welcome back to our show. This is Dr. Jurkowski, and I'm pleased today to have a guest on our show who is going to share a very personal story around an area that everyone who's in my listening audience has either experienced this or knows somebody who may have. I don't know that there will be many people listening to this show who have never experienced or witnessed somebody experience a stroke. Our guest today, Brian, who did experience a stroke, is going to talk about surviving the stroke and lessons learned. And I think this can be very helpful to those people who are in recovery, who have recovered, or are dealing with loved ones in that kind of situation. So welcome to our show, Brian. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thanks, Dr. Jurkowski.
So you're a relatively young man compared to the age target age that we normally see people having strokes. So maybe let's just start off and tell us a little bit about what happened and when this all happened to you. And how old you were.
Yeah, and I've got this story on the web on my commentary website, bigbmultimedia.com/bigbfiles. Just click on the stroke recovery story and you can read the whole story there. Anyway, basically, and like it, and we're just, literally, I'm still kind of putting pieces together, even 2 years later. Like, it's probably a mystery. So basically what we know now is on the morning of July 7th of 2021, I think about 4-5 a.m., woke up with feeling like a whole bunch of mashed potato flakes that were on fire in my upper back. I took a couple of Aleve and went back to sleep, and then a couple hours later, I had to get up to go to work at Target in Town Country, Missouri. And I felt a little better. And so I went in, and over the next hour and a half, I started to have the feeling, the back pain, the feeling a little light. I'm about lightheaded, but weak in the leg, bottom half of my body from like my weight, my hips down. And one of my managers at the time, who's no longer there, started to notice this. And then she and I went to the break room, which Target calls TMSC, Team Member Service Center. And over the next 20 minutes, she and I just chatted, and it was decided that I would go home. And I drove home. Back maybe that wasn't such a high idea, but I did. And made it home, grace of God, and laid down for an hour. Then Brett felt, remember the Carbonized Club, Steve Diggett, at SB to work out. Makes a crisis on a project, and I'll get back to that in a minute. And told me to, and so I did that, sent it to him. Then my diabetes doctor called because I had canceled an appointment previously to ask to reschedule it because of scheduling, and they could see me at 3:00. Well, a little bit later, about an hour and a half later, I realized that I was just in no condition to drive at all. And I went, called my sister, twin sister Melissa. She came home, not too thrilled about how to leave work, but who is? Took me to my doctor party that afternoon. And I noticed when I was walking there, I was like waddling like a duck, how a duck waddles. And it was to the point where if I had done a field sobriety test, there is no way in heck I would pass this thing. They would probably arrest me, carry me off to the county lockup. It was that bad, if not worse. Doctor thought it was just because of high blood sugars, which mine were high at the time. And so just said, go home, rest. And then I tried to rest, but I couldn't go to sleep till about 3 a.m. the next morning. And I woke up about 7. My Melissa came in my room and said, based on how I looked, that I should call off work, which I rarely, if ever, do, even now, and call my doctor. And so I did both. And when I called my doctor, I talked to one of the nurses, and that nurse said, based on what I was telling her and how I sounded, that I should go to the ER and get checked out for stroke. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, what? Because I'm 48 now. I was 46 at the time, and I never once thought of a stroke. My mom suffered a stroke, a TIA stroke, and then a full stroke, and she was in her 60s when that happened. God rest her soul. And I never thought I would ever enter into the equation. So
you're surprised at being as young as you were.
Yeah. And tech, and all that. And yeah, exactly. You're right, Elaine. I called my sister. She came home and took me to the ER at Mercy, which they're good. They're quick ERs. But basically by the time, late afternoon rolled around, I was already in the process of being admitted into Mercy Hospital, the main Mercy here in St. Louis, for what they call a 23-hour stroke workup, which is where they run tests, evaluate you to see whether you had a stroke or not, even a TIA stroke or any stroke, unless the symptoms are really, really there. And basically ran ultrasounds, not on my head, obviously, CT scans, MRIs, and I think it was a MRI. I think that finally, yeah, it was an MRI that was done that on the morning of the 9th. I mean, and look at my own commentary to get stories back straight. That they literally called it a itsy bitsy teeny weeny sized stroke, and the doctor that diagnosed it literally pointed it out to me. It's probably like a tip of a nail. It was really small. So I was in the neurological unit of Mercy Hospital for a couple of days, and then they transferred me to Mercy Rehab Hospital, also on Highway 40. I was there for at least 2 weeks. Intensive therapy sessions, speech therapy, physical, you name it. I was there for at least 2 weeks, I think, maybe up to a month. And then I was sent home, and then went to a SSM day institute out in Chesterfield, where I would be taken by one of their buses to the institute for physical, speech, occupational therapy. Great group of people, very understanding, even what I dished out to them. That was there from the from in of July until September 24th of 2021. And then I was released from that, and I could have gone back to work, but September, I didn't drive. I was able to drive until about, well, they gave you okay about two weeks, two, 3 weeks before then. And I drove there, and I haven't drove long distances since the stroke. I've been needing to get back to do that. While I was at time where there was a time after I got out of Mercy Rehab that one of the conditions was that I could not be alone at all. And so when Melissa had to go to work, a number of nights from the IW9s, the Incarnate Word Knights of Columbus Council in Chesterfield, they
came and took and hang out with
you. Yep. Go ahead.
No, I said that was a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
how long do you have to stay with others?
Well, I stayed at home and they came here. They came to my house here now.
But how long did that period last where you had to have other people with you?
A few weeks. And so the nights would take a few. My sister took me to nice cause meetings whenever I could for the council. And then the assembly a couple of times. Then Faithful Navigator Andy Dzleski, he came and picked me up. And I use that as an example when I tell people about the Knights Council, not to get off course here, but that why I think they are the greatest, among the best, if not the best, Knights Council in St. Louis is for that. And I will always say that all day long. The irony thing is a few things. One, Steve Dickett, one of the Knights, he's one of those that stayed with me. And the next Lent, when we was working on something for the Fish Fry website, he told me the story that apparently he noticed that I was making mistakes on another project that in a way that I even wouldn't normally do that.
Uh-huh.
And he wondered if that was not a sign right there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, let's talk about some of the lessons that you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, it sounds like a horrendous experience, but,
yeah.
You know, you have been very gifted in a way to mm-hmm. have been able to bounce back the way you have.
Yeah.
Because some people are not quite that lucky and they live with, you know, lingering kinds of issues for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And forever, right?
Yeah. We are. So yeah. I still deal with some lingering stuff, but I guess the first one is, and I guess I can illustrate the story of there was a guy who at the Day Institute that had a stroke himself. He's about the same age I was. And his was, I think, worse, it looked like. He was kind of basically, you know, at the time confined to wheelchair with equipment. And he was a big time techie guy, like technology guy.
Uh-huh.
Web stuff. So I couldn't believe like that guy hit me like ton of bricks. And I guess first was, well, don't really make assumptions on especially stuff like this, because you never know. I didn't, because if I were to ask anybody listening to this show right now, if I mentioned to you the word stroke, what would be the first thought you'd think of? Would it be someone my age, or would you go with the assumptions I did? And not only me, but a number of others that I know that someone in their 40s, you wouldn't associate with the word stroke or any type of stroke at all. More like someone in their 50s, maybe a 60s, 70s, 80s, basically an elderly guy or lady.
Right. You do tend to think of older people, not young people.
Exactly. So you might see the warning signs, but you might be dismissive of them too. That's the one thing. And also, they always say, or law enforcement would say, like, for crime, especially around 9/11, this was a big theme. If you see something, say something. I think that could also apply here to things like strokes, heart attacks. there are people that have had heart attacks in their 40s, but and that's more common, a lot more common, I think, than that people think than strokes. So, but yeah, that's one other thing right there. The controversies then, but you hear like these controversies of the vaccine thing, the COVID vaccine thing, or that stroke is related to it or other things. I have to admit that the timing when the stroke, I had two shot Pfizer vaccine, the original one, and the second shot was on June 23rd of 2021, day after my birthday, and less than 2 weeks later, I ended up in the hospital with a stroke, and I can't definitely say that, but I also can't exactly dismiss it either. So, because the thing is, the doctors, and my own doctor says it, that they're not absolutely sure what caused the stroke. They can take educated guesses or think like that, but as my regular doctor, Dr. David Brown, said, told me, I'm basically like a mystery, and so was the stroke too. So that's kind of adds to that as well. And so if you see the signs, oh my gosh, say something to them, or if need be, dial three little digits, 911, and never just be on err on side caution. Never assume. Just make the call and say something. And it could be eventually the same in life. I think overall, is by the grace of God, I'm still here. I'm lucky by the grace of God too.
So usually when people suffer strokes, medical professionals ask them to make significant changes to their lifestyle. Were there any lessons that you learned about changes you needed to make or have made with your lifestyle?
Yeah. Well, I have to take low dose aspirin every day, and that's originally it was prescription. Now it's over the counter, but I've got a medical benefit card through Medicaid that I love to buy and. So I take that. Diet changes. Keep a closer tab on your blood sugars. That's one reason why I am wearing a one of those blood glucose monitor things, a Dexcom G6 to be exact, but there's others. So some diet. I have changed some things on it. Keep close tabs on things. I used to run 300s a lot, but blood sugar levels, but now it's mostly in the 100s, some two, rare threes, but just keep close tab, doctors keep close tab on it, medication stuff. And so that's that being a more aware. I have noticed since when they, like I used, I don't know if we lose some emotional control. I've lost a little less patient. And there's times where I am talking like, and then move on. It's like, that would be like where I'm like collecting, I have a thought, then I pop at, in the fort being forced to pause and collect my thoughts, then move on. I still have issues like that. People that I know, sometimes I might forget, who's that? Like forget their name for a second and have to go through different things to remember, or it comes back to me a little bit. Let's say we're to go get up and, think I need to go something from the kitchen, and then by the time I get there, it's like, what was I supposed to do, get or do there? So there's that. There are still after effects, and then the driving. I drive myself around lot, except for Sarah with that's our story, but I've yet to drive long distance, like from here to from St. Louis to Marion, for example. Or,
so even like a drive is a bit much for you.
Or
you haven't done it.
I haven't done it. I'm wanting to work myself back to that because my dad lives in near Effingham, and so I need to do that. I just haven't done it yet. Guys, there's a little more than I used to. On my dad's birthday, I think it's something, and I look at menu trying to start stuff, and then I lose my thought, and someone else jump in, try to say something, and I got upset with them. I shouldn't have, but is what where I had one of those pauses times where I had to try to collect my thoughts, and it's a work in progress.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about diet and exercise?
I'm trying to walk some more. I try to park further away most time. Diet, it's still a work in progress. There are food choices. I don't eat a fast food as much as I used to. I still do a little bit, but I also have to keep an eye on it and the blood sugars on that. But yeah, for instance, most of the foods that we eat, even if I still eat meats and stuff, steaks, pork chops, do trim the fat off, ground beef, but we don't do the frying in the frying pan. We've got an air fryer that we
oh an use. Air fryer so.
Yeah, and the grease drops out of it. Before that, we were using those Foreman grills and those are great. Those do the same thing. So basically, it is around here our ways. I'd say extremely rare that we use cooking oils. Period. If we use anything close to that, it'd be like cooking sprays. I use more olive oil spray, but then we use a canola spray, but things like that.
So your diet has changed substantially. It's another level.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. What about sleep? Do you get more sleep now, or have you changed any of your sleeping habits?
Well, I use a sleep machine. There's times I do forget to do that, and I don't know if that's a side effect of it. Of the stroke or not, but that's when I forget to sleep. I fall asleep. Slept a little more now, but last couple of years. I can't really remember the last time I really got a good night's sleep.
Now, are there any like signs that you experience that give you the message that you just have to slow down or take stock, or you know, are kind of leading you to think that you may be headed in the direction of a stroke and you do something to, you know, avert it?
Yeah. Just keep, if I get, I don't know, lightheaded, if I get wobbly, or a little weak, I sit down, try to sit down, and headaches, I will try and do some there, but basically, as I said before, if you these unsay something, like there are times where in a way I'm kind of still wobbly a little at times, and so I will just stop. I don't care what anybody says, be it family, or supervisors at work, etc. If feel like weak or have a balance issue, I will just stop, say something, no matter what they say, and that's one way to keep at it.
Yeah. All right. So what about your faith? How did that play a role in your recovery process?
I think it did a huge deal. Part of it, times where I, during the day I knew I couldn't like go to mass. Did have people visiting me from my nice cousin, my parish. One of the, I guess one of the nurses was a member of our parish, Incarnate Word. And so it was a huge deal to me. I would try to watch mass on my computer when I could. Keep in mind, this was at the height of the COVID pandemic. And so you were literally restricted to 2 visitors per day, except for clergy. So, as far as I was able to get and see me, he came a few times in the rehab. It was in the rehab hospital. I had, like I said before, I had another nice day with me, and that, and so, yeah, we. And things like that, if you do a lot of faith, it's hard to get through it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes we underestimate how valuable that can really be in our lives in terms of healing or rehabilitation. So honestly, I think that's a great take home message for people. You know, don't try to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And use and lean on your faith when you need to.
Yeah.
Especially in situations like this with stroke recovery.
And have it happen to someone as young as me at, well, any age, but still, especially someone like myself who you wouldn't expect it to.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. The assumption is.
Absolutely. No, you're right. Well, we're almost out of time, mm-hmm. but I want to really commend you on mm-hmm. a challenging journey. You know, knowing mm-hmm. you, I can see how you haven't let it get you down, and you really try to make life as full as it can. So I appreciate mm-hmm. you wanting to share mm-hmm. your story with others.
Yeah.
Because you want to dare to care to help other people have hope mm-hmm. and resilience.
Yep.
So thank you so much for sharing about your journey post-stroke and the lessons to be learned. And I wish you all the very best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd be willing to talk to or groups share story too if anybody just should just get a hold of me.
Yeah, so let's give them their Big B email address again, because you had mentioned that you've got a Facebook page where people can read your story.
Well, and it's a website, but I got both. But yeah, bigbmultimedia.com/bigbfiles, and click on the story, My Stroke Recovery and the Lessons Learned. Yeah.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Brian, who's sharing his story, I want to thank you again. Mm-hmm. And audience, please join us next week on Dare to Care.
Time, but instead I got a message. I take on my pride every time we undressing. Draw the line, I'm mad.